Happy Father's Day. How many here are fathers? Raise your hand. Happy Father's Day. And those of you who aren't fathers physically, spiritually, there's a lot of fathers here also that reach out to others and bless them. I really want to encourage you to, for the 24-hour prayer and worship watch next Friday, to consider taking an hour or just coming and joining in, especially at 7 o'clock when Chris starts us for the first couple of hours, or during that 24 hours, just come and join in. So we're going to look at Daniel chapter 12 this morning. I want to share just a brief story in way of introduction, which is a few months ago, actually about a year ago, a gentleman came into my home and sat in my backyard with his wife and some of his family, and I was there with my wife, Nikki, and he talked to me about a terminal illness that had invaded his body. And in fact, that illness would take his life in a couple of months. And he knew that it was his time, he was passing. But he said to me something that deeply touched me on that particular afternoon. He said, "I don't know how much time is left, but I just want to finish well. I don't know how much time is left, but I just want to finish well." We are at the end of Daniel chapter 12. And like my friend, Daniel's life is also coming to an end. We'll see in this chapter that Daniel will be encouraged as an angel speaks to him. He will be encouraged to indeed finish well and to make the most of the time that's left to him. And that's my message to you this morning. My message this morning is a look at Daniel chapter 12, as well as a look at the mystery of time and your life and my life finishing well. Chapter 12 continues and concludes the vision that we looked at in chapter 10. You might recall back in chapter 10, and in fact, chapter 10, chapter 11, and chapter 12 are all one unit, all containing this one vision. Daniel is on the banks of the river Tigris in chapter 10, and who we think is a pre-incarnate Christ appears to him. He's given this vision that is so overwhelming that he actually goes into a sleep. He's overwhelmed by this, like a trance. He catapults under the enormity of this vision. And after a time, an angel touches him, and he awakens, and the angel tells him about the dream. He says, "I have come to you, Daniel." I'm reading now from chapter 10. "I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future and what will take place at the end times." So we're looking at in these three chapters, 10, 11, and 12, mostly of what's taking place in the end times. Chapter 11 gave us a written account of the vision. And last week, Lauren beautifully spoke to us from the end of chapter 11 about this evil personage that arises at the end of the age, the Antichrist, who in verse 44 of chapter 11, right at the end, he is described as one who is in a great rage to destroy and annihilate many. And that is a description of this Antichrist. And also we notice in verse 45 that after a period of time, his reign comes to an end. Because it says at the end of verse 45 that he will come to an end and no one will help him. In Daniel chapter 12, this is an extraordinary chapter. It deals with Old Testament a prophecy of the end times like no other book. In chapter 12, Daniel's vision comes to an end, but not before some of the most important teaching that you and I will ever hear from the Old Testament is shared by him in this vision. It's truth revealed of events that will take place at the end of human history. Daniel chapter 12 is Old Testament prophecy at its very best. It's a surprising and detailed account of future events and the last days. What we find in Daniel chapter 12, we see enumerated by Jesus in the Gospels, in the Olivet Discourse, in those three famous chapters in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Matthew 24, Mark chapter 13, and Luke chapter 21. Those give us a whole chapter of end time events. And then, of course, further in the New Testament, we're given more teaching about the future events, especially in the what I call the T-books in 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, and Titus, and of course, as well as the book that has most to say about the end times, which is the book of Revelation. So what Daniel does, he points us towards the New Testament and explains in more detail than any other Old Testament prophet things that are to come. Daniel is a pioneer of prophetic teaching in the Old Testament. He's a forerunner of New Testament eschatology. Eschatology being a theological word meaning the study of the end times or the study of future events. So let's all open our Bibles to Daniel chapter 12. I'm going to read the whole chapter. It's a short chapter. It's only 13 verses, but it's really an important chapter for us to conclude this book. This book wraps up, this chapter wraps up the entire book in a really extraordinary way. Chapter 12 is a chapter that when you read it, you will never forget it because of what it shares. So I'm just going to read the whole chapter, and then we'll see how much time we have where I can talk about it just a little bit. Daniel chapter 12, I want to point out that the first four verses concludes this vision. The first four verses concludes his vision that we've seen in chapter 10 and 11. And then from verse 5 to 13, we have what I call kind of an appendix to the vision. So here goes, chapter 12. I'm reading from the NIV. And the little subtitle at the beginning of the chapter is the end times. At that time, Michael, who is, and I'm going to kind of talk to you as I go through this chapter, at that time, the time of the end, Michael, who is an archangel, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise at the end times. And there will be a time of distress like no other time, such as never happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, Daniel's people, the Jews, the Hebrews, Israel, at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, or we could also say written in the book of life, will be delivered. Verse 2, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. And here we have a reference to the final resurrection. I'll talk about that in just a minute. They will awake from the sleep. Sleep is always a term, almost always a term that's used in both the Old Testament and the New Testament for death. Because for the believers, we don't die. We sleep. We go to sleep, and the minute that we go to sleep and breathe our last breath, 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We move into the presence of the Lord the minute we take our last breath. That is a mighty hope. For every single one of us, that's worth the price of admission coming to church this morning. You breathe your last breath, you're in the presence of the Lord. That's a glorious thing for me to be able to share with you. All right, verse 3. Well, the end of verse 2 is, those who will arise from the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise, this verse 3, you guys, this is like, it doesn't get any better than this. Verse 3 is an absolutely stunning verse. It speaks of those who believe. Look at verse 3. Those who are wise, they're wise because they choose God in their life. And those of you who are here this morning and you've chosen God and you've given yourself to Christ, you are the wisest people on the face of the earth. Those who are wise, verse 3, what's going to happen to them? They will shine. They will shine like the brightness of the heavens. And those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Gosh, if we talk about beautiful poetry or words that just ring with a resound of angels and God in heaven and beauty, you'll shine like stars in eternity. And those who lead others to righteousness will be like stars forever. But you, Daniel, now Verse 4, the vision comes to an end. You close up and seal the words of the scroll until the end of time, till the end of the age, till the last days. This vision is going to be sealed up. And then at the end, it will be unlocked and opened up. And then we'll see for sure what all of this means in very great detail. Many will go here and there, and knowledge will increase. I'm going to talk about that in just a moment. Now, verse 5, Daniel kind of comes to from this vision and from explaining this vision. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there before me stood two others on this bank of the river and on the opposite bank. Now, remember, when he had this vision, he was on the bank of the Tigris River, and whom we think is the pre-incarnate Christ appears to him and gives him this vision. And now he comes and he sees this man that we believe is a pre-incarnate Christ standing there. He looked, and there were two other angels also, one on the bank of the river, one on the opposite bank. And one of them said to the man clothed in linen, the one clothed in linen is, as I said a minute ago, the pre-incarnate Christ who was above the waters of the river, how long will it be until all of these astonishing things are fulfilled? So in what's been shared, these angels are going, this is astonishing. When is this going to happen? It blows their minds. They want to know, what is the timing of all of this? Verse 7, the man clothed in linen, the pre-incarnate Christ, who was above the waters of the river, lifted his right hand and his left hand toward heaven, and I heard him swear by him who lives forever, saying, it will be for a time, times, and a half a time. And the power of the holy people has been finally broken. All these things will be completed. Daniel says, I heard, but I did not understand. So he asked the question also. He says, my Lord, what will be the outcome of all this? And he replied to Daniel, go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed until the end of the times. Till the end of time. Many will be purified, made spotless and refined, but the wicked will continue to be wicked. None of the wicked will understand, but those who are wise will understand. And some of you here understand enough to know and understand what the basics of this is. And then he's going to give us a time sequence from the time of the daily sacrifice that it's abolished to the abomination that causes desolation to set up. There'll be 1,290 days. Blessed is the one who waits for and reaches the end of 1,335 days, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. As for you, Daniel, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. Now, I want to talk to you about five really important subjects concerning the last days. And a lot of you have heard this. You've read books by Chuck Smith, Hal Lindsey, Tim LaHaye. It all talks about the end times, those prophetic books. I'm going to ask Isaac to put the PowerPoint up. And I'm just going to briefly, you don't have to take notes on this, because if you want the notes on this, I've copied them and they're back on a stack on the table in the foyer. So I know a lot of you take notes, but I want to talk to you about five critical events at the end of the age. Daniel chapter 12 is an end time apocalypse. The word apocalypse means an uncovering or an unveiling. And the word apocalypse is translated revelation. The book of Revelation is an apocalypse. It is an Old Testament insight. Daniel chapter 12 is an Old Testament insight into history's final events. Five important issues or events I want to talk about. First, at the end of chapter 11, I've already mentioned the Antichrist that Lauren spoke to us about last week, chapter 11, verses 36 to 45. And I gave you a little extra here, New Testament names that when you read, or you're reading your New Testament, if you see the term son of perdition or man of lawlessness, that's the Antichrist. You'll see those terms used for the Antichrist. And then, of course, in Revelation chapter 13, he's called the beast. And a lot of you who've read Revelation know that's true. So the Antichrist is the first subject matter that I want to bring up as a key figure at the end of the age. And I've already described what he's like. And I've listed some Old Testament and New Testament scriptures for you. The second subject is the Great Tribulation. Daniel chapter 12, verse 1 says, there will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of time until then. And that's what is known in the New Testament as the Great Tribulation, a seven-year period that the New Testament reveals to us at the end of the age. In the Old Testament, it is also called Jacob's Trouble, or the time of Jacob's Trouble. That's the Great Tribulation. And I've listed some Old Testament, New Testament scriptures for you. Especially interesting is Psalm 2 and the entire book of Joel, but especially chapter 3. If I have the next slide, please. All right, the third issue is from the first verse also, where Daniel is told that those who are found written in the book of life will be delivered at the end of the age. And so I put that as our number three issue. The book of life is the book in which, when you receive Christ, when somebody receives Christ and your life is given to God, your name is written in the book of life. And someone very close to me, when she was saved, went into a vision at the moment of asking Jesus into her life, and in this vision literally saw in script her name written in the book of life. I know that may be hard for you to believe, but that's exactly what happened. Take my word for it. It says in Revelation 22, there's no liars in heaven. So I wouldn't lie to you just to make the sermon sound good, I promise. All right. Fourth is the final resurrection in verse 2, that those who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. And that's the final resurrection. I've listed to you Old Testament, New Testament scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15 is an entire chapter about the resurrection. I encourage you to read that. And then last of all is the final judgment. And in the New Testament, in Revelation chapter 20, I know I'm sounding like a runaway train here. In Revelation chapter 20 is what's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Chapter 20, verses 11 to 15. And in Daniel, we just see it as a final judgment in which the righteous will be judged and the unrighteous will be judged, some to everlasting life, others to everlasting shame and contempt. And that's a tough one to deal with, everlasting shame and contempt. We'll let somebody else talk about that. I don't want to talk about that right now. All right. At the bottom here, our response should be like Daniel, to live fully for God, finishing your life well. And that's exactly what he's done. And then the result of that is the verse 3 that I read to you about those, the reward of those who believe that they will shine in all eternity like the stars of heaven. And that's a beautiful thing. So you can take the PowerPoint off. Isaac, thank you so much. From verses 5 to 13, as I said to you, when I read the text, it reads like an appendix. Daniel wakes up from his dream. The two angels that are with him are wondering, how is all this going to play out? And Daniel wonders, how is it all going to play out? And we have these days, these 1,290 days, which is 3.5 years. And we have 45 extra days spoken of, 1,335 days. And there's lots of teaching about that. Various scholars and writers try to interpret what that means. But I think purposely God's just saying, close the book, Daniel, seal it up, because God has control of time. And when this is all going to happen in God's timing. Like Jesus even said himself, when he returns, only the Father knows the time. And when the end times come, only God knows about that. But one interesting thing I read at the end of verse 4 was that little interesting note that at the end, in the end times, knowledge will increase. I think that's pertinent. In 1980, if someone would have said to me, the level of technology and knowledge we have today, I wouldn't have believed it. The fact that I can put a subject on Google, hit enter, and in a split second, tens of thousands of words can pop up. I don't understand it. Jeff understands it. I don't understand it. But I think it gives us a little insight, like, could we be creeping towards those days? Just think about the last 10, how fast are we going? Jeff was saying to me the other day, I think in 20 years, we won't even recognize today. It'll be so far out there. So it's pretty extraordinary. All right, I want to end my message looking at verse 13, in which at the last verse of the chapter, Daniel is told, "As for you, Daniel, go your way." He's already been told that in verse 9. Go your way, Daniel. And I want to end my message by sharing with you what I believe in an amplified way the angel is saying to Daniel. He's saying, go your way, Daniel, and finish your time on earth. As you have lived your life, finish your life. You lived your life well, finish well. In the time that you have left, live it to the fullest. One life to live, Daniel. You've done well. Keep it up. You've spent your time wisely. You've not squandered it, nor have you wasted your time. Finish with a flourish. Stay ever true to your God. You are highly esteemed, Daniel. We've seen that said by the angels to Daniel several times in the book. You are highly esteemed and much loved in heaven, Daniel. Why? Because you're faithful and courageous and bold, and you're a man without fear, and you're trustworthy, and you're loyal. You're God's friend, and you seek him, and you love him. Your heart is set upon him, and you speak of him, and you will shine brightly like the stars of heaven. And your suffering here on earth will be turned to glory in heaven, and your captivity to freedom. And your life, Daniel, your story, the hard times, the dark nights, the challenges, and the victories and the triumphs will be spoken of as a testament forever and ever and ever. Because heaven and earth could pass away, but the word of God will never pass away. And this story of this man's life has been such an inspiration to me and many of you, will be spoken of forever and ever for all eternity. It's a glorious thing to think about that. For all of us here at Little Church by the Sea, I want to ask you a question. When life is over for you, when life is over for me, when our allotted time is up, when the gift of life and the gift of time runs its course, and this fleeting life is gone, and the race is over, how will you have lived? And how will I have lived? What will be said of you? How will your story read? Well done. You gave it your all. You were faithful to God, true, real, in a world that is increasingly becoming more difficult for us, for believers. You love God, and you loved others. You walk with God, and you wisely used your time. Will you shine in eternity like the stars of heaven? Will I shine like the stars in heaven? Will you have lived your life to the fullest, using every gift God's given you and every talent for his glory? And will you and will I finish well the life God's given us? One life. Every single one of you here this morning, God gives us one life. One measure of time. One glorious opportunity. We have one life, one glorious opportunity to live fully for God. To live fully for God. If you've not made that decision to give your life to God, I urge you this morning to do that. Now, all of us this morning have a past. What's the date today, June what? 16th, 2013. From this moment, we can say like Daniel, and like I've been encouraging you, you can finish well your life. You can finish well your life. And so I want to challenge every single one of you, and I likewise challenge myself, finish well the life God's given you, one life, finish well. And if you've never given yourself to Christ, do it right now. All you need to say is, Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner, and give your heart to him. And some of you, you've raised your hand in a meeting and you've prayed the sinner's prayer, but you know you've never really truly given your heart to God fully in the sense that he has your life lock, stock, and barrel. I want you to do that this morning. It's 1 minute after 12. It's this afternoon. How many here would like to do this? Say, God, I want to finish well. Who wants to finish well this morning, huh? Who wants to run the race and keep the course? And you want to stand before God and you want to shine like the stars in heaven forever and ever. I do. I do. So God, we bless you. We love you, God. Lord, you give us this glorious opportunity. Let us not waste it, God. We come to you this morning in our weakness, God, in our frailties. Would you be our strength, God? Would you come and be everything to us that we're not in ourselves, God? We forget what lies behind. God, we know there's stuff in the past that wasn't good. But right now, we choose. We choose today, we choose you to live a life fully consecrated and fully dedicated and fully devoted to you. God, capture hearts today. Capture hearts. And Lord, help us all to finish well. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.